Today we dive into quantum biology. And a cheeky hint, you know quantum biology a lot better than you think. That's today's show. Hello, and welcome to the Low Tox Life Podcast. I'm Alex Stewart, your host and founder of the Low Tox Movement, and thank you so much for tuning in. I adore the study of quantum medicine, quantum biology. I've had Bruce Lipton on the show a few years ago. If you haven't listened to that one, it is gorgeous. And today I have Dr. Catherine Clinton joining me. And we actually start today's show by talking about how beautiful and simple quantum biology is and how annoying that is from the perspective of big tech algorithms in getting vital, beautiful, simple inspiration out to everybody for their health. So it starts with a laugh. We then go into a bit of basic science around quantum medicine because a lot of people hear quantum and then it kind of washes over us if we flunked year 10 biology and you think, well, I'm never going to understand that. That's way too complex. We think of crazy scientists and quantum physics, and the good news is it is the most gorgeous, relatable exploration of the topic that I could possibly have hoped to produce for us all. Catherine is a divine human being, and her energy is just so lovely. You will know exactly what I mean in a little minute. If you don't follow Catherine's work, I have all the details on how you can do that on our show notes. She's a naturopathic physician practicing out of Oregon in the US, and she is a champion for the much broader definition of medicine, having been through two intense autoimmune struggles herself while she was going through med school. It really opened her up to psychoneuroimmunology and understanding that coherence is a truly important gift to tap into for us all. And how that looks is just some of what we talk about today. I'll hook into that chat in a little minute. For the Aussies, I'm reminding you of our major sponsor, Oz Climate. You have the Winix air purifiers and dehumidifiers. Code LOTOXLIFE gives you 10% off, and that's on top of anything that they've got on sale. And I saw that they've also brought out some heaters. So if you're listening to this live, they have found a way to reduce energy costs. And while the appliances are smart, and I put smart in inverted commas, you can actually switch that aspect, that feature off, just letting anybody know who sees that and goes, hold on, that's not low tox. A lot of people who are low tox in producing things know that some people want smart stuff these days, so they try to do both and make it flexible for everybody. So there's that. And I'm so excited to share that one of my favorite OG low-tox brands, Walita, is giving you 20% off site-wide with the code LOTOXLIFE through till June 3rd. So if you're stocking up on some old favorites and you want to grab a couple of each, then that can be what you do this month and make the most of it. They've just brought out a stunning pomegranate firming range. They've grown their pomegranate range using those beautiful recycled glass jars that we saw launched with their skin food range, which is a little richer, last year. And it is divine. I had already used a couple of tubes of the pomegranate face cream. And this is definitely on my list to be grabbing this month to try the new products, because they look like you want to dive into the image. If you check out the show notes or you're on the newsletter, you'll know exactly what I mean. So 20% off site-wide, code LOTOXLIFE. Just a little note here, it doesn't work for packs or things that are already discounted. Go nuts. And if you are new to all things low-tox, Walita have been around for a century, pioneering both biodynamics, strong partnerships with farms to help farms be economically viable as well as help regenerate land. And they make affordable, gorgeous products for us all to use in our everyday. So enjoy. Now let us hook into quantum biology. Don't be scared. It's awesome.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm really excited to talk with you today.
Oh, I'm so excited for this chat. I have been following you on Insta and you're one of my favorites. It's like a calm meets exciting, but at the same time, and you never feel stressed. And that's hard to achieve in this world of wellness, especially online, where often it's the fear-mongering and the granular kind of thing that then makes us scared that we're not doing exactly the right thing for our health, all that kind of crap. It's exhausting and stressful, but the algorithm loves it. And then you're just hanging out with pictures of trees and beautiful quantum biology facts. And I just think that's more of what the world needs. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. I know sometimes because that fear mongering is so rewarded, I'm like, anybody out there?
Yes, I did the exact thing yesterday. I mean, I just put a picture of the trees that I was walking in and amongst in the morning and talked about like the reason that just feels so good, right? It's down to our biological and energetic core and crickets. And I was like, but guys, this is lovely. I don't want to have to dance around with my tits out in the kitchen.
Absolutely. And I, for as often as I do have that experience, I feel that that's the medicine. We're actually providing the medicine. So you won't see me become fear-mongering. I mean, in the last several years, when there's been so much fear, I have just remained steady of like, one of my favorite quotes is, fear is the static that doesn't allow me to hear myself. And I messed that quote up, but it basically says, you know, it's that static that disconnects me from myself. And I think we've all experienced that fear is that beautiful disconnector. It's so powerful at just snipping those ties to the heart and getting you running around in circles. And that is not what our world needs right now.
No, it's not. And any of us who've been on a chronic illness journey will know, having done the hard slog, being confused, being up at night researching for hours because no one else is giving you the answers and that whole jazz, is that at the end of the day, when you start to let go and do the simplest of things, you actually get the biggest of results. And it was just such a huge lesson for me. Yes, there are a lot of supplements and protocols that come to the aid in an SOS measure, but the underpinning work is the basics, right? And from following you for a while now, it's quantum biology. It's the stuff we can't always explain. Why does this feel so good when I'm on holidays? Oh, my feet are bare in the ground. Crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things I love about quantum biology is it honors that interconnection and it honors that invisible intelligence that is guiding life. And we know it, and we can talk to, you know, MIT experts and PhDs and all the biggest experts in the field. But so many of us don't own that. We don't own that sense of this is the medicine, right? This is the biggest piece of it. And that's what I love about quantum biology is it's starting to really validate what those ancient indigenous cultures always spoke of, what we intuitively know as humans, and that was just cast aside, right? In science, there's this, in medicine, there's this word anecdotal, like, well, that's just someone's experience, you know?
It's like, yeah, let's invalidate that.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not listen to the patient here. Gosh, no.
Friend. Right. Do you have anything else besides anecdotal evidence? And it's like, how powerful to bring that back and then weave it into this universal blueprint that's happening. I mean, I just am a huge fan of quantum biology because it's fascinating, it's cutting edge, it's brilliant, but also it connects us back at a time when we're so disconnected.
I couldn't have put it better myself. And it seems to be this theme that's coming through all of my chats at the moment for the podcast. I'm like, totally different fields, different people, different specialists turned holistic, but everyone is noticing that there's a big disconnect. And I don't think that's an accident that it's happening at this particular juncture.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's never been more evident. And in popular culture, there's such, like you said, there's such importance, there's such highlight on the disconnect, on the division, on the cutting of the ties. And I think it's been going on so massively that we're starting to see, like, oh, wait a second. That's something that I need. Don't disconnect me from that, right?
Yeah,
And
that's
so
it.
there's some real hope there as well.
I agree. I agree. And like quantum biology, let's actually talk about it, define it as best we can. And I will, of course, be leaving that to you because often people hear the word quantum who maybe have never done a science degree, flunked out in year 10 biology, and are thinking, oh, yeah, that whole quantum thing, I just don't get it. How can we understand how it looks, feels, and applies to our daily life? What is it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question because it is such a new and emerging field, and it can cause confusion if we don't know what we're talking about. But it can be really simply explained. Quantum biology is the study of quantum phenomenon in living systems. And what does that mean? It means that we're looking at the subatomic action that's happening in the human body, in a plant, in an animal. We're looking at how those subatomic particles, how the flow of electrons, protons, photons of light, phonons from sound, how these really small pieces initiate action that we see at the bigger level, right? That we see on our lab work, or we see in our symptoms, or our health presentation, disease onset. It's about how these really small pieces initiate the bigger pieces we see in life. And what we're seeing is there is this sea of quantum action at a very small level that's guiding life. Right? It's this invisible, unseen intelligence blueprint that really guides life as we know it. And it is absolutely astonishing.
So, like, you're obviously staying really close to the emerging science and looking at all the papers and journals that come out. What have you seen lately that's just made you go, what the hey now?
Yeah, I think that, and this might be too, because I'm a nerd, right? So I just
Oh,
have
we
to
are
get that
nerds.
out
Don't
of the
worry.
way.
You are at home here, Catherine. It's totally fine.
I have been really excited, and of course it all excites me, right? It's hard to narrow it down, but I'm writing a paper right now on microtubules. Microtubules are those really small pieces in our centronomes, where we divide the cell and create another cell. They're in our neurons, they're in every living tissue, plants, animals, ourselves, and they have this special water in them, the special phase of water that's acting as a receiver of quantum biological information, whether that's electricity, frequency. And so that just is like, oh my goodness. So we're talking about these little antennas that all life has, picking up on this energy in the world around us that acts as information that guides cell behavior, cell movement, differentiation, where a cell becomes an ear or an arm. How does it do that? We used to be like, I have no idea. Now we're starting to recognize, well, electromagnetic fields are guiding some of that, and the electromagnetic field of a cell guides that. And it starts to sound like, wow, where did you get this lady, right? Like she's talking some kind of wild stuff. But
Don't worry, I'll prep them in the intro. It's all good. No, but what I'm hearing is that we now understand just how electrical we are.
And it's not something new, right? We go into the hospital, we get an EKG to check the electrical
Of course.
conduction of the heart, EEG of the brain. We measure the electrical conduction of a cell, but that's just sort of like this side thing. It's
Yeah, and it's quite
inconsequential.
surface, like it's quite mechanical versus energetic, if I could differentiate the two.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we're understanding that it isn't just this broad electricity, that there's information held there, that we can communicate with electricity, and that our body does communicate with electricity, and living things do communicate with these frequency fields. And so that in and of itself is mind-blowing, but the impact of that and what the consequences of that move us away from this chemical-only model of health that we've held for so long. You have this disease. It's because of a chemical, mechanical issue, and here's the chemical to solve it. And if it doesn't solve it, but I'm sorry, we don't have anything else for you.
And that's in naturopathic and conventional medicine, really. Like the chemical could be the 20 supplements that you get prescribed or
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And quantum biology, it doesn't negate that. It doesn't say that's not happening or that's false. It says why those things might not be working. It gives us an idea of what happens first, that underlying sea of quantum biological action, really initiating what we see at a larger level, right? And so that's, to me, is really exciting. I mean, it's exciting for many reasons, but one of them is it gives us another tool, a very powerful tool to help. Health to help people who are suffering. And, that's what we doctors want to do. And so many of us, especially in the last decade, our patients are sick. They are more sick than they were before. The protocols we've used aren't working the same. And it makes a lot of sense when you start to understand, oh, well, these patients, our society in general, have walked away from these relationships, these invisible relationships, right? With the rising and setting of the sun, or the earth beneath our feet, or the frequency of our thoughts and sound and light, all these different things. We've really been herded into this modern life without really many other options, right? There's not many of us that can escape the 9 to 5, the do this, the wake up the alarm clock, do go to work, get out of the car, then go in another box and do your work, and then get out and go to the car and come home and collapse and watch Netflix and start it all over again the next day. And that's how our society's been brought up. And so the more we can talk about this, the more minds we can open to this, most of this is free. It's
Yeah,
accessible.
that's what I
And
always think about. I think about that when I stand in the park in my bare feet in the trees and just looking up and thinking, I'm not paying a dime for any of this, and this is the most magical part of my day.
Absolutely. And I think also, if I may, I think for me personally, and what I see with a lot of my patients is they'll get this quantum biology checklist, right? Like, okay, I go Earth and I got to go outside and I got to see the sun at night and I got to lower the lights at night and see the sun in the morning and, you know, this kind of checklist that they go through. And then that checklist turns into a relationship. And I think many of us have experienced a change in diet or a supplement that gives us a better sense of health, but it's not a relationship. It's not a,
It's a
you know
to-do.
what I mean? It's a
Yeah. So you're
to-do.
saying with the quantum checklist, the to-dos become a relationship that you seek and you feel drawn to because you've made that connection.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what started as a checklist then turns into a sense of belonging. Like when I see the sunrise in the morning, I'm like, there it is. I am so glad to see the sun. I am where I need to be. Wherever I am, I'm here in relationship with you. And this is my place, and that is your place. And here we are. And I feel a sense of safety and a sense of belonging. And from my own experience having autoimmune diseases and Lyme disease, and of course, that's what I treat patients in, right? Gastrointestinal issues, autoimmune conditions. I haven't seen a patient that, myself included, that didn't have a lack of safety, a lack of a sense of belonging. And so many of us in our modern lives, a lot of our relationships aren't safe, right? That boss, that coworker, family members, friends aren't that safe harbor, right? So to cultivate that relationship of safety with the sun, with the tree outside of our house, with that patch of grass, with the seasonal changes, right? And how that informs our body and makes us healthier. But it's also this relationship of like, oh yes, this is the rhythm and I belong here. There's medicine to that as well.
100%. And what's beautiful about what you've just said is we're broadening our definition of what relationships are. And so if there is that part of your personal life or your work life that is void of safe, beautiful relationship in that moment in your life, that's the time to ramp up the relationships you do have control over. Hug a tree. It's not woo-woo. It's really not, I promise. I think it's just beautiful that this is coming to light. And what really landed for me with what you just said was, yeah, no, I don't have a relationship with my quercetin supplement that I take before bed. I mean, it's a beautiful midlife supplement. Don't get me wrong. It's really helping me pull through here. But at the same time, yeah, have I ever said thank you? Probably not. It's not in the same way that I would feel like that beautiful sunset wash over me in the park when I'm walking the dog.
Yeah, absolutely. And those relationships are constant, right? It's not, you don't have to worry about like, oh, I really screwed up today and made a mistake, and will the sun rise? Of course it will. It'll rise, it'll shine on you, it'll warm you up, and it doesn't care what you did. And that's just such a beautiful constant in our lives that is always there for us. And I love to really remind people about that and usher them into that relationship.
And it just makes perfect sense why the elements and the creatures were more of who the ancient cultures called gods. And, because it was beyond understanding and knowing, and it just was.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things I love about quantum biology is that, you know, the scientific revolution, if we couldn't see it under a microscope, then it was invalid. And there's use to being able to all look at something and say, yes, that exists, and we agree. That's useful in science. But to disregard everything else was, that was a problem. We disregarded a lot of beautiful wisdom. And quantum biology is now starting to validate some of that wisdom that was cast aside, right? This idea of energy flow throughout the body, the idea of having a relationship with the sun, the importance of the natural world, all of these things, quantum biology really brings us back to. And that's something that's really exciting for me, because that was a huge problem, is to just disregard all of this, even the things we still can't see, right? Like faith in something, and the power of that. It's just beautiful to be a part of a time in history when that is being validated and researched and looked at. It's astonishing.
It is. And for me, it always makes me think of those boxes and the polarization and the little camps that everyone puts themselves into, whether that's a political ideology, a religious ideology. What we're talking about here actually allows everybody to unite over much bigger concepts of faith and energy and the sun rising and falling, and everyone needs that in common. And I think at a time of pull apart, where I'm like, no, I want to focus on the overlaps. I want to bring people together. I'm sick of all of this. Quantum biology almost offers us a bit of a blueprint for really what's the most important thing of all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that brings us to, I really got interested in quantum biology, I was looking at mitochondria and how emotions impact mitochondrial function, but I was looking at coherence and this idea of quantum coherence and two things vibrating in the same rhythm, dancing the tango together, or you walk into a piano shop and strike the C key, and all the other C keys start singing, right? That idea of coherence and the idea that we are resonant, right? We are like tuning forks, and you strike a certain chord and we will pick it up and resonate that and sing that frequency. And the idea that coherence, if we have that in our body, if we tend to that in our body, that heart-brain coherence, that HeartMath and so many others have researched, it brings such a different biological state in the body. And not only that, but that coherence that we can cultivate then extends to those in our environment. So I can impact the coherence of the people around me, and they can impact the coherence, and it just ripples. Like I couldn't think of an emerging field that we should be concentrating on more than,
I totally get you. Yes. I mean, when I started the low tox movement, it was like 15 years ago. I was just a bizarre hippie to most people. And I was like, that's okay. I'll just plug along. Let's swap this out, swap that out. And it was more granular back then. Like, we did need advice on, like, okay, what am I looking at on a label? And how do I? And what I find now that people have kind of taken that term and run with it and become quite, created quite militant presentations of it where we're terrified of every tiny little bit of something bad in our lives and not doing it right and it's not perfect and I'm not properly low tox. And I'm like, no, this is not what I intended. And I feel like there's this desire to actually grow my voice more now to remind people what this was about, which was healthier people, happy planet. Like, and there's so much that we can do to control in our everyday, but then there's things that are out of control that, like imagine if you teaching all of this were then anxious about every Wi-Fi modem you saw, which I'm pretty sure you're not. So can we speak to that, like how existing in a modern high-tox world, but ushering in quantum biology and it being enough?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. When I was in naturopathic medical school, environmental medicine was the class that was really stressful for people because you're hearing about how the air is toxic and the water and the food and just on and on, the clothes you're wearing and the seat you're sitting on. I mean, it
It's a
just gets like,
lot.
it's a lot, right? But the thing, my main takeaway actually from that class was how resilient the body is and how never before seen chemicals, your body has a pathway for that. So what they haven't even created that we're going to be really scared about in a few years, our bodies can deal with that. It's just like forever chemicals. Turns out they're not forever. Our body has a way to get rid of that. And that's the beautiful thing I keep coming back to, is that our bodies are those tuning forks. They are resonant and flexible. And as long as we can connect them at some time to the frequencies that they need, if we can get those feet in the ground at some point in the day, if we can see some of that morning light at some point, if we can lower those light at that light at night, we are feeding this highly resilient technology. And when we talk about quantum computing and, neurogenic technology and all these cutting edge spaceman type of Star Trek technology, right? All of it is trying to mimic our biology. It's trying to mimic what's inside of us. And I think that's what people really don't understand, is that we are the best technology. We are the most resilient. And while we're doing enormous damage out there, there's no doubt about that. We've become quite good at that. We also need to remember that we are resilient. The world is resilient. And if we can keep tending to that, however little or as much as that is, our body will respond. It is that tuning fork, and it will pick up on that frequency. I always say to patients and teachers that I'm, or doctors that I'm teaching, I say, the earth is that socket, we're the plug. Because everyone says, well, how long do I need to do that? And how long? It's like, as soon as you do it, it's working. So, long times are great. Go on vacation, go camping, go for an hour walk outside every day. All that's great. But 5 minutes is so much more powerful than you think it is. You are so much more powerful than you think you are. So, what I come back to with people and myself is that enormous sense of resilience and power that we have in our biology. It's not a one-way street. And so remembering that, yeah,
100%.
absolutely.
I remember being on an advanced retreat with Dr. Joe Dispenza and, where you're meditating like 10 hours a day. And it's such an incredible bubble to be in when we talk about coherence, right? And they've got the heart math testing happening. And I remember him talking about how we need to remember that our field is the most powerful field. Compared to any man-made fields. And if we worked toward coherence as often as we can, and we maintain and revitalize our field every day, then we have a lot going for us with the electrification of things. I think, there are always going to be those terrifying studies and the worst possible case scenarios floating around the internet. And as we talked about, right? Unfortunately, they also get the front seat in an algorithm in big tech. So we have to remember how powerful we are. I think that's such a beautiful message. And with coherence and what that can look like every day for different people, can I ask, because it's like you've got to exercise, right? Like that statement. But what people really should do is be focused on finding a great way to move that they enjoy. That should be the invitation. So, with coherence, what does that invitation look like? So that people really feel compelled rather than like it's a to-do list. What's the journey?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Because I think also with coherence, like if we were to Google a heart coherence exercise, right? We're taking deep breaths, we're bringing awareness to our heart center, and we're trying to feel emotions of love, gratitude, contentment, awe, right? And those are beautiful. And that is the state of heart coherence, right? But at the same time, there's not a lot of talk about how we as humans are meant to feel angry sometimes. We are meant to feel fearful. We're meant to feel sorrow, rage, and anger. All of those are natural human emotions. The problem is when we get stuck in those emotions or we place judgment on them,
Or
right?
try to control them. We're obsessed with controlling our negative emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Suppress them, turn them on to someone else, feel guilty and shame. I think for me, coherence definitely includes that heart coherence, right? And that exercise. And the more we do it, the more we can just drop down into it. It doesn't have to be a full meditation and practice. It's just a feeling we can drop into. But also having, for me, coherence is being in coherence with my emotions. Like if something happens that angers me, it truly making space for that anger, letting it come, letting myself feel it, being okay with that. And what happens then? It passes through, right? My natural state is not anger. Right? It's this beautiful template that it is sort of in awe and gratitude of the world around me. But I get angry sometimes and I get sad sometimes and I get fearful. I mean, we have those emotions, they're built into us. And so I think part of coherence for me is also being coherent with what I'm feeling and making space for it, allowing it to come and allowing it to go. And that allows me to be in true coherence where I'm not, everything's great and I always feel happy and I'm so grateful. And someone did something that really hurt me and I'm so grateful. It's like, no, it's okay to feel the emotions, right? We just have to let them flow. And being coherent, really, for me, is a much broader term. Like I want to be coherent with my emotions. I want to be coherent with the people in my life. I want to be coherent with the rising and setting of the sun. I want to be coherent with the plants in my environment. I want to be coherent with that universal flow of light information that enters our world, electronic information, right? That flow of electrons that passes from humans and plants and animals like a wave across the globe. I want to be coherent with that. I'm always saying if we can stand firmly in this universal flow of energy that's happening around us, the healthier we'll be, the happier we'll be. And to me, that's being coherent. It's being able to dance to that rhythm.
So good. And for me, I think when I think about like meditation, for example, and helping people find that way to dip in to that genuine sense of restfulness in that moment, just a bit of peace, or really being exactly with whatever's going on. To also think like, do I like this form of meditation? Am I enjoying that form of yoga? Or have I just been told that going to yoga is great for more coherence? Or so I should do it. I think we're so disconnected. That's kind of where we started the chat, right? That often we are doing things almost out of obligation for our health. And that's a journey into itself to uncover how to flip that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's that becoming coherent with yourself, being mindful of works for you, right? I love the fascia. I talk a lot about the fascia, and there's so many different fascia exercises and yoga and qigong and fascial releases. And I'm like, these are doorways for you to peek in and see what works for you to cultivate a relationship with yourself. They are not the end all be all. They are not the what to do list. They are a peek and see list, right? Start that exploration, start that relationship with yourself, because that's what matters.
So good. And psychoneuroimmunology. I want to bring this in for our last little segment here because for me it's so fascinating and like that safety theme again, and how truly feeling safe can then impact our mental health, our immune system. Where is quantum biology linking all of this up? Because I almost feel like it sits like a little beanie on top.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful little beanie, isn't it?
It's
It's
cute. And grandma knitted it kind of thing. Yeah.
I mean, psychoneuroimmunology is just a big word for how our thoughts and emotions impact our biology, right? And we know, like, on a chemical level, they absolutely do. They impact our neurotransmitters, they impact our cytokines, our inflammatory state, the balance in our immune system. And we're starting to understand. Martin Picard is an incredible researcher who continues to do incredible research on mitochondrial function. And mitochondria are those little jelly beans in our cells. Actually, they do so much more. They can leave a cell, they can link up. I mean, they're just absolutely fascinating. But our mitochondria are what create ATP or energy in the body. And we know that dips in ATP are associated with disease onset, with symptoms starting to appear. We really want to tend to them. They're really foundational for our health. And Picard has really pioneered this idea and shown in research that our thoughts, our emotional state impact our mitochondrial function and the flow of electrons through that electron transport chain. The end of that chain, ATP, that energy currency is made. And those electrons are quantum tunneling through that electron transport chain, through those protein complexes, through the structured water that lines them. And to think that the frequency of a thought or emotion can impact the energetic state of our mitochondria is quite astonishing. And it kind of ties in this bridge between what we thought was only chemical. And now we're starting to understand is quite energetic in nature, right? This idea that thoughts and emotions directly impact the flow of electrons and protons in those mitochondria, in those cells, those cellular energy, our electrical charge of a cell. I mean, it really gets down to this quantum biological level where you're looking at subatomic particles and saying, hey, when I think this way, my electrons do this or my protons do that, right? It's really bringing it to such a fascinating and foundational level because that is so necessary for health, absolutely foundational.
And so, like someone who was just dip, maybe this conversation is their dip-in moment on quantum biology. And I'm thinking with a beginner's mind here, could they be then thinking, oh my gosh, that means, but doesn't that mean I should never have or try not to have negative emotions because then my little tunneling situation's not going to go? Or is the lesson here that actually we do need to fully feel that emotion, let it come, let it go, because that is what allows the machine and all the messages to keep working efficiently?
That's what I would say. Absolutely. I would say that The problem is when we get stuck in that emotion, when we have friction in that emotion, and that creates a pattern that's not coherent. Our body doesn't recognize that. Our body recognizes fear, it recognizes anger, it recognizes those things. It's ready for that. It responds predictably to those emotions, but it doesn't know what to do when we're in that emotion or we stuff that emotion and don't make space for it. It thinks we're in an emergency, right? It responds as if we are in a danger state. And we know that, that cell danger state is not conducive to healing. We can't have, we get so boxed out. We think, oh, she's talking about cells and those random cells in the body. We have to remember those cells become tissues, become organs. So when I'm talking about mitochondria and cellular health, I'm talking about organ health. I'm talking about your body's health. It's foundational. That's where it starts. And so our body has patterns and mechanisms for all those emotions. It's when we are in a state of being stuck in emotion or being stuck in that friction of emotion, and we can't just feel it and let it go, that it creates this danger signal throughout the body that affects everything, and that cell can't function properly. It can't heal. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so good. And twice now you've mentioned this special water structure. I have to know more. What are you talking about? What is
I know.
it? How can we enhance? How can we support? I've never heard that before.
Absolutely. So, I mean, researchers have been talking about this for over a decade. Albert St. Georgi, Gilbert Ling, but it was Professor Pollack, Gerald Pollack, out of the University of Washington, who identified this different phase of water, different structure of water. And so our cells, our cell membrane, our mitochondria, our fascia, our DNA, they're all hydrophilic. They allow water to come right up to the surface. And when it does, that water changes in structure. It's different than the bulk water in our body. And it's more viscous and gel-like. It creates a structure that's liquid crystal in nature. It's crystalline. It can capture energy. It can capture, especially in the infrared frequencies, it can capture that energy. And it actually uses it to build that structured water zone. So as one sheet of this organized water forms on the cell membrane, if there's infrared energy around, it'll act as a template for more layers to build. And what Professor Pollack found and his team out of the University of Washington found that this structured water is negatively charged. And as it forms, it organizes in a way where it kicks out a positively charged proton and creates what researchers are calling a proton wire or a proton zone. And again, that amazing Professor Pollack took a electrode and put it in this negatively charged structured water against our cell membranes and tissues, put the other one in the proton wire, which forms right outside of that. And what he found was this separation of charge, just like a separation of charge in a 9-volt battery, was enough to, it actually lit a light bulb in the lab, right? So it is this alternate source of energy that we could be using in our body. And it's absolutely fascinating because all of these quantum biological things I've been talking about, putting our feet in the ground and the sun. We didn't talk much about sound, but all of these things, thoughts and emotions, all of these things impact that structured water and that structured water battery in our body, just giving us a completely new perspective on what it means to be healthy and how we can cultivate that health.
Oh, Catherine, what an amazing conversation. What I have taken from this and what I hope people listening are getting is that It is so cool to know how it all works down to the wire of quantum biology, but we don't need to stress about trying to control or optimize any of that because, in fact, the way we support all that magic is through the most basic of daily actions and tuning in to what we are literally designed to tune into, which is our earth and sky and how those change throughout the days and months and seasons.
Well said. Absolutely. It's
So good.
those relationships we've evolved over millennia with. And if we can remember those, if we can return to those and cultivate them, even in a small way, it has an enormous impact on our health.
Well, thank you so much for the enormous impact you have on people's health around the world and for joining me on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much. And likewise, thank you for your voice. Thank you for your work. It was an absolute pleasure to talk with you today.
No, thanks. I hope you loved today's show as much as I loved bringing it to you. I want to remind you that if you are someone who craves a low-tox community that is judgment-free, full of empowerment, has health professionals and building health professionals that can support you, as well as me in there answering questions multiple times a week, I want to invite you to join the Low-Tox Club. For the price of less than a cup of coffee a month, you have an annual membership for $49 Australian, so it's about $30 US or Euro, that allows you to have a member masterclass every single month with a health professional or global expert from the podcast, where we have them to ourselves for an hour to ask questions and deep dive further. You have the beautiful supportive chat group. You have Q&As with me answering questions. We read books and talk about them and a whole bunch more. You can head to lowtoxlife.com, hit the explore tab, and join the club is the very first option on that list. Of course, we have over 10 evergreen courses that you can jump into anytime, whether it's navigating everyday low tox swaps with our Go Low Tox signature course, whether you have kids and you're wanting to know how to best support them with our Low Tox Kids course, whether you're planning a family and looking at a healthy low tox preconception journey, reducing inflammation, especially the chronic kind, with our Inflammation Ninja course, many, many other courses. You can again head to lowtoxlife.com, hit the courses tab, and you'll see all of the options, which includes a business course, my Low Tox Method program. A lot of people don't know, but I was doing a lot before starting Low Tox Life in 2009, and I was a business consultant across hospitality, health, retail, and cosmetics. I have been in business consulting for a very long time, so I absolutely adore helping people move into the low tox space or develop their low tox businesses. So that's a way I can support you. And then, of course, there's our wonderful social media communities at Low Tox Life on Instagram, and of course, the website with over 250 gluten-free recipes, blogs, downloadable PDFs to help you navigate wanting to get rid of synthetic fragrances in your school or office. I could go on. So head to lowtoxlife.com, see what takes your interest or fancy, and thank you so much for being a part of our podcast community. I love, love, love reading your reviews. I appreciate every follow and subscribe, and I want to just remind you to finish off that if there's anything you heard that you found interesting from a medical or scientific perspective, it is intended as education only. Please always chat to a health professional who knows you and your situation best. I'll see you next week. Bye.